Welcome back to the Project Happy Place podcast. I'm thrilled for my next guest because I have known her the longest besides my parents and sibling. We moved to San Diego in 2007, so that was about 15 years ago. She moved to San Diego without even having been to California. So it just goes to show that she's willing to take risks and dive into things that she believes in. So 15 years later, here we are. I am so excited to share her story because it's one that really inspires me to be persistent and to never give up on your dreams. So welcome to the Project Happy Place podcast. I'm going to say Jill, but I know a lot of people call you Jillian with a G. So welcome.
Thanks, Jane. I'm so happy to be here and finally be on your podcast.
Yay. So this is going to be really fun. Like I said, I've been inspired by your journey and just to kind of go through that. So you graduated from Penn State University in 2007, moved to San Diego, as mentioned, in September. You received your Master's of Science in Cell and Molecular Biology from SDSU in 2012, then went to Augustana University and received your Master's of Science in Genetic Counseling in 2020. And since then, you are a California State licensed and American Board of Genetic Counselor certified GC. So that is quite a lot of schooling, as I'm sure you feel.
Yes, it was. And you know, it's funny because I don't think I've ever considered myself to be that great of a student. there's definitely a long explanation as to how I went through so much schooling.
So let's begin with that because, like I said, I've known you since I was, you know, 15, well, more than 15 years ago at this point, aging us. So in high school, I vividly remember saying you wanted to be a genetic counselor when you grew up, which is kind of crazy because that was in the early 2000s when the profession wasn't even that well known. So what even introduced you to this field from the beginning?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And you're correct. I mean, you know, the human genome wasn't even sequenced until and relatively finished until 2001. But I do remember, so I guess I'll age us and tell everyone that I did graduate from high school in 2002. I first discovered my love for biology when I was taking Mr. Moyer's honors biology class in 10th grade. And it's a funny story because I would come home and talk about the class and talk about Mr. Moyer so much that my mom was convinced that this must be some cute young science teacher. So she went to our back to school night and she met Mr. Moyer, who was this dorky old science nerd in his 60s. I mean, he wore the same outfit every day, a white short sleeve button-up shirt and brown pants that were hiked up to his waist and a lab coat and glasses. He's just your stereotypical nerdy science teacher. And so it was at that point that my mom realized that I just really loved the subject of biology. And so then I found out about genetic counseling in his biology class because when we were learning about genetics, I always did a lot better, you know, on tests in genetics and really gravitated towards that particular subject. And I remember that there was just one sentence in my Campbell biology book that I read that talked about genetic counseling. And I knew right away that that was the career path that I wanted to go on because I could use my love of genetics. And also I knew that it would be something where I would be interacting with people and helping people. But there wasn't much information besides that. But from there, I went and I majored in biology and minored in psychology at Penn State.
Very cool. I know. Yeah. And I just think it's so interesting how something can stick and really the path to which you've taken to get to where you are today is pretty incredible. As mentioned, like all the schooling that was necessary. And then in addition to the schooling, you had to take a number of tests in order to become licensed. And what I think is really cool about, you know, from a young age saying, this is what I want to do, and having that resonate with you. And then you've had many jobs since then, but now sitting where you're at today, I know when I ask you, you're just thrilled to have that profession. So can you help people kind of understand a little bit about the trials and tribulations to get where you are today, but how it does truly feel so good and worth it now that you're sitting in this seat where you get to do like what you love every day?
Yeah. I mean, it is funny when you say that too, because I'll sometimes have these moments where I'm working and I truly have never enjoyed waking up and, you know, doing a job as much as I have with this one. And it is crazy to think back and to think of all of the things that I went through and now how I really do have my dream job now. But you know, I graduated from college in 2007, and genetic counseling as a profession is, you know, it's a very niche subject or profession. And there's only like a couple thousand genetic counselors in the country. And, you know, back then in 2007, there were only about 25 programs in the country that I could apply to. And I applied to a few and I didn't get in. I didn't have a very good GPA. So I kind of put everything aside and thought, okay, it's too competitive. You know, I'm not going to get in. And then that's when, you know, you and I moved out to San Diego and I worked in, for a pharmacology, company for a few years. And I just really hated it and wanted to do something more on the molecular side if I was going to keep working in a lab. So then that's when I went back to school for cell and molecular biology at San Diego State. And, I did love, you know, everything that I learned there, and I did love working in molecular biology, but, when you're working in a lab, there's really a glass ceiling. I mean, it's not all the time, but a lot of times there's a glass ceiling if you don't have a PhD. And I just knew I didn't want to keep working in the lab, and I wanted to work more closely with helping people. So then when I was at I worked in molecular biology for about 4 years. And then at that point, I was at a company where I could move into a tech support position so that I was interacting with customers and helping people. And I did really love that job, but it just still didn't feel like I was passionate about it and that it was super rewarding. And so when I was there, I interacted with genetic counselors at that company. And then that's when I started to learn about the Augustana program. And I just knew, even though I was the ripe age of 34, I knew that if I didn't go back to school for genetic counseling at that point, that I would regret it. So that was a lot of different career paths to go through. And looking back, you know, of course I wish I could have gotten my genetic counseling degree earlier, but I think all of that prepped me, you know, to be where I am now.
Totally. And you know, it's interesting. I mean, it's just that you were in a job that you really hated and you originally got your undergraduate degree in that. And all these jobs that you had along the way were just different trials to kind of get to where you are today. And it takes a lot of courage, and you probably don't give yourself enough credit for that to make career changes like that. I mean, I remember even when you went from being in an R&D role in the lab to a tech support role, that was pretty uncommon.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And, and I mean, that was, you know, it's funny because working with customers, that has helped me when I'm working with patients now. So I think, you know, looking back, you know, it was a long road and it came full circle, but, you know, you do look back and think about all of that experience helped me to not only get into a genetic counseling program. But I think it's also been really helpful in in dealing with the patients that I see now. So just now, go ahead.
Just having like that well-rounded experience is so helpful for people, because that's why I think sometimes people think, oh, I just want to hit it right out of the park from the beginning. And probably people coming out of college think that that's the expectation that they have, but that is just not the reality most of the time. But all of those steps along the way have allowed you to come to the table as a genetic counselor now with such a well-rounded background to better be able to serve your patients.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. I mean, you know, I absolutely love my job right now. I work at a, you know, a local hospital in their oncology department. And I've been there for about a year. And you know, it feels really rewarding. I love talking, you know, I see 12 patients a week and I love talking to them, but you certainly are dealing with all sorts of personalities and you're dealing with, you know, I'm giving these patients some really tough news, some of the time. So, you know, just being, having that experience working, you know, in science and working in tech support with customers, I think has really given me some tools that have helped me relate to patients better and to be able to talk them through these difficult times.
Yeah, completely. And it's so funny because I didn't think we were going to talk about baseball, but there is a correlation here. So I was listening to a man behind us at the baseball game. We are recording this the week that the Padres and the Phillies are playing each other in the postseason. Boo. So this man behind me was talking to his friend and he goes, yeah, you know, he's at that job. He hates it, but he's putting in the time to get the 401k and the benefits. You know, that's just what he has to do. But, you know, I'd never do that. And you and I wouldn't do that. And that's just like such a miserable way to live. And it was so interesting just to hear other people speak like that, because I truly believe that as well. I mean, sometimes.
Yeah.
Sell their souls for these jobs where they're miserable in them, but that's what you do for most of your waking hours for a big part of your life.
Yeah, that's true. It is really true. I mean, and I think that's what gives me, you know, the energy to like wake up and, you know, it can be very exhausting, you know, talking all day and working with, you know, different personalities and things like that. But overall, you know, I really feel like I have a purpose and a meaning for my career and what I'm doing, yeah, with my life and doing for 40, you know, hours a week. So it is really important. And I think that was the drive that kept me going to finally pursue my dream job. So
yes. Yeah. And it's so crazy because some people have listened to the podcast and say, oh, that really inspired me to apply for a job at a smaller company because I work at a big company and I just really hate it. So I want to take this leap and apply for a job at a small company. And I just think that's really cool. So the same as with your story, it's that somebody could listen to it and say, oh my gosh, I really did want to do this career change. And they might not take as many dramatic leaps as you did, like moving across the country for a year plus. I mean, it was long enough. It probably felt like years. Doing things like that, those are huge leaps and changes. So it's not that everyone's going to do that. But I think that when people listen to things like this, they get really inspired by other people, you know, doing what you did took a lot of courage. It was really challenging at times, super upsetting. You probably felt like the lowest of lows when things didn't work out, but now you can sit in this position and be energized and happy to do what you love. So
yeah,
I think that's really awesome.
Yeah. And I think, you know, looking back, I mean, I think I just kept having the main goal in my head. I mean, so yeah, Augustana University is the way that the program works is I went to South Dakota for 9 months to do my first year there, my classes. And then I moved back to San Diego and did my clinical rotations for a year here. And, you know, when I remember when I was like moving there, I was all excited and, you know, thought that, you know, I was just excited to be learning about genetics and genetic counseling and start diving into everything. But then, you know, once you're there and, you know, I was going to school with some like 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, it was, there were a lot of challenges that I think I didn't, you know, I just didn't anticipate and I couldn't have predicted either. And then plus, you know, living through a South Dakota winter, that was tough. But it's like, I think I just kept having the goal in mind that just got me through it. And then, you know, you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that I'm licensed and certified. So genetic counselors, have to take a, board exam after they graduate, and it's only offered in February and August. And very long story short, it took me 3 tries to pass that board exam. So I basically was studying for a whole year, just to pass that exam. And, you know, it was a true test to me with dealing with anxiety, with test anxiety. It really made me find some tools that I still use now to deal with anxiety and a lot of good self-care tools as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after I passed the board exam, a couple months after that, I got a job at in the oncology department at this local hospital, and I just really couldn't be happier. So
yeah, that's it all amazing. Worked out. And I think that that's really cool too, that you went through a hard time, but it wasn't you know, done in vain, because now you have like amazing empathy for people. Mm-hmm. And I do remember that you said after you took that test, you were like, I just want to shout from the rooftop and help as many people as possible. So that is just an amazing ability to now have, to be able to be there for people.
Yeah. And I've tried to, you know, volunteer, like for the National Society of Genetic Counselor, like the student SIG, and help just, you know, I've tried to talk to any other students who don't pass, you know, that board exam on the first try, because of course it's shameful. And, you know, I learned through the process that there were actually a lot of genetic counselors that I worked with and rotated with that also didn't pass that exam the first time around. And, you know, obviously it's just not something that everyone wants to talk about, but I just want to like kind of normalize it for people and, give them the tools that I learned, so that hopefully they will not have to take it 3 times, maybe only twice.
Yes. I mean, it's really gives you, you're coming from it from such a, you know, it took you some hardship to get there, but I think that ultimately you have these amazing tools now that you can help other people with. And it's so funny because I mean, you know, my mother, you've known her for a long time. She recently had foot pain. So she now has a stress fracture in her foot. And I'm like, oh, for the love, like I am feeling for her because I had all that foot pain for me like a year and a half ago. And I'm like giving her my boot and I'm constantly like checking in on her, just like, how are you doing? And if I had never experienced something like that, I wouldn't be able to really truly understand how terrible it is when you're used to being a mobile person to just be locked like that. So agree with you. I mean, you came out of it with really good tools that you can use in your life. And then also just to be a mentor and help other folks. Mm-hmm. So really remarkable.
Yeah. And I feel like you were going through that kind of when I was going through all of my studying and stuff. So we definitely did share some of our
hardships.
Hardships and some self-care things that we learned. You know, so like, yeah, I mean, of course, when I was in it, it was like, why is this happening to me? Like, why do I have to go through this? You know, but now looking back, it's like, well, okay, I did learn a lot about myself and about like stress management and self-care. And so it has helped me you know, deal with stressful situations now, and hopefully it will for the rest of my life. So lesson learned.
Right.
The hard way.
The hard way. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's a pleasure, obviously, having you in my daily life. I also am so inspired by your story, and I think that others will be as well. And people that listen, whether they're going through something similar or even if their children are, because I know it can be challenging for kids with disappointment, especially in the testing and getting into college and all that types of those things that happen in life. So I know that you're willing to have them reach out to you. And I think it's also just
absolutely
cool because the career and profession of being a genetic counselor is just such a growing field with lots of opportunity as, you know, science evolves. So I think it's just interesting for people to understand that that is a profession that's out there.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And if, I'm happy to help or answer any questions, or share any of the tools that I've learned about.
Thank you for joining this week's episode of the Project Happy Place podcast. It was a pleasure to connect with Jill on the journey to get to where she is today. As mentioned, it's been a long time coming, but if you're super specific and laser focused on your goals, you can end up in a place where you're truly happy and love what you do every single day. We hope to have you here again next time and are very excited about our guests through the end of this year. Take care.